you see. Now, that's a little different than
the head
psychiatrist.
All right, I made an honest mistake.
Right, we realize that. We know you're an honest man. May I take just a moment to read something?
I should remind you people that this program is on 37 and a half hours a week from 12 midnight to 5:30, 6 mornings during the weekend on Monday, Monday morning. Is it Monday morning? Yes. We're on from 1 to 5:30. At this point, I'm a little bit groggy, too. Not that I'm tired. I'm wide awake. In fact, I didn't eat anything until the coffee break, and then I only ate a little of the turkey, but the sandwiches were delicious, and we've had kind of a rugged day here, but this particular program is very exciting, and we've had so many people. I'd say that we've had about 25, 28 people here all night. 38 people. That's by actual count. I was just informed, and there's a number of photographers around here. Right now there's one, Sam Vandenberg. Before, we had two or three walking around here taking pictures because of Paulina Peavy and because the Mystic Barber was here tonight. And the Mystic Barber said something in space language. You say space talk or space language?
You call that code in case, as I told you, John, there's a lot of fake people going through so-called different mediums.
You didn't answer my question. Do you call it space talk?
Space, because these people are
don't chew my head off.
No, they're in space. They're not on Earth. They're in a different dimension.
Fine.
That's space.
Not arguing their point. Is it called space talk or space language?
It's well, space language.
Space language. Yeah. Both language.
Right, you are, John. You're with us tonight, boy.
Now, here's what we're going to attempt to do.
Yeah.
Talk straight, for one thing.
I hope that Herb Bailey, who is representing Argosy magazine, at least on this particular story, Herb, I hope that you don't put down spoke language. It's space. Pauline Peavy went out in the hallway. We have a reception desk and a few lounges outside next to the bank of elevators on the 24th floor at 1440 Broadway. In other words, we're 24 floors above the square known as Times. And she meditated for a few minutes. And whether she's been successful or not, I do not know. And she's tried to talk to one of her teachers. This is a spirit voice that we've heard. And she is asking the mentors to cooperate by translating the space language that will be given to us by the Mystic Barber. Now, Andy Sinatra, Mystic Barber, would you, if you can get the message, I noticed that he has the band back on now with the miniature antenna extending in the air, the evil eye, or the third eye, I'm sorry, not evil eye, pardon me, the third eye is flickering, and now will you say something in space language, and we hope that the mentor that uses Paulina Peavy's vocal cords will be able to translate the message for us.
Well, Doc, I have to transmit it to mental impulses.
But you can
I'm
do it anyway.
I'm contacting the media, which is not through voice.
Well, are you going to do the space talk again?
No,
first?
Well, the space talk, if I talk space talk, he won't get it. He'd fall in alone to get it. But he can answer the thing.
What do you mean that Paulina understands space talk?
The media will understand me to mental
the what?
Power. Her guide.
Yeah, her guide, yes.
Will understand me when I send a mental impulse to him. Then she will answer back the language. You understand? You're dealing with a different vibration. If I talk to Paulina, I'll talk to Paulina now. Otherwise, it's English she hears. And the other way, when I send her, I'll send maybe 10 or 15 words to mental impulses, to the media.
Is it?
And then he'll transfer her, because he speaks a different language.
Is this what you call telepathic communication?
No, this is vibration thought waves with the fourth dimension. In other words, I contact through her. They were down.
Well, would her mentor know that you're going to be on the fourth dimension? Supposing he's on the fifth at the moment.
No, there's no fourth or fifth. This is a straight vibration. It's all fourth.
You just said fourth.
Fourth. Anything is here.
Oh, everything is fourth. That's the lucky number for the day.
Outside of the moon orbit, it comes a different dimension.
Well, that makes sense. But that's now.
Everything here is fourth.
Yeah. All right. Well, what do we do? Do we remain quiet for a moment, or...
Well, you remain quiet.
For about how long?
What time you got to?
Well, we're on the air. What time do you want? 24 after 4.
All right, here I go. 1 minute, about a half a minute.
Well, can I say anything while you're sending?
Well, if you're talking now...
All right, look.
No, you can talk, but I will transmit the...
I will whisper.
No, you can talk regular, because this vibration has no contact with the speech vibration.
Hmm.
In other words, you tune in WOR and KBKA, one station won't interfere with the other. In other words, speech talk is a vibration. This is mental vibration. One don't interfere with the other.
But in other words, how will I know when you're through vibrating?
Well, let me...
Well, don't worry about
turning around.
No, he can't turn around and look at the clock and all. I'll tell you what. All you do is just raise your hand up or blink the third eye.
Set the time and the element will set itself across.
I notice you have to use glasses.
Well, I need glasses because I got strain in the eyes.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's fair enough.
My work.
Now,
all right.
Paulina Peavy has her mask on again. It's an exotic mask, to say the least. Very beautiful, very attractive, and of course, Paulina Peavy is an artist, an inventor, designer, sculptor, poet, writer, and lecturer. And certainly, with all of that talent, she should be able to design some exquisite masks, and she's accomplished.
Only when I say to you, Yamahuta, hi, I mean start. We'll talk for one. I'll talk for 1 minute.
Well, who are you talking to?
Yamahuta, hi.
Have you said it now?
I'm saying to tell her so Manto gets ready. Well, she has to control it now. When I say that, you prepare yourself. Then I'll talk for 1 minute mentally.
What do I do?
You can do what you like.
We can go on talking.
You don't have to be nasty about it.
Oh, you know, songs and dances, snappy patter, anything. It doesn't cross us the frequency.
Well, Yamahuta high. I will transmit for 1 minute. Go into a trance, tell your mental, I'll transmit to him, then you can give the answer.
Well, the eye is flickering, sort of a flashing of the third eye. Dave Bell is doodling. Charles Leadham is...
Tearing up cigarettes.
He's unraveling the filters on the used cigarettes. On the used cigarettes. That's a beautiful light.
Very good.
And we've got the ghost talk this night. However, this is a very serious thing. We've actually been laughing a little bit to sort of release the tremendous tension that we're undergoing this morning. And we have 38 people by actual count. That is Dr. Ness count, and everybody is here, sitting almost breathless, wondering what's going to happen. And in a moment, I can see that we're reaching that period of 60 seconds, at which time we will hear the words here. It's coming
now. Yeah, my word, the highest over. Now you can just a minute and tell you what I've done
in. Now the message has been sent. Possibly she is in a trance, Paulina Peavy.
We travel in space from a point of time to a point of time which tells you absolutely nothing. Meaning that we are almost as bewildered as you about space travel.
Is that the substance of the message?
Say anything, Charles, and we'll take a breath with it.
We're still on the air. It's just a period of silence until the mentor continues to talk. Paulina, Peter.
We make our food by the power of thought. The best that we can explain to you is that we counteract the disintegration of atoms in space, and our food is wholly made by the power of thought as we travel in our state of electronic fluidity. You have a saying that your home is where you hang your hat. Our home is where we think it is. As we know no boundaries like you, we move through walls, your walls, faster than the speed of light, like your radio beams move through obstacles that are obstacles only to you. Yes, Andy. We did visit you in behalf of our work. As you saw us, when we thank you for your cooperation in our bequest. For we asked you not to tamper with Paulina and us in our connection, and you so graciously acceded. Time writes a heavy hand for seers. We need all the cooperation from your men of science that we can get. We need to work with you to make this matter understandable, which means scientific. This matter of the sensitives of your world who have been contacting us throughout the ages and who have not been understood. We see no more burning of your Joan of Arc, but we do see ridicule by those who are not enlightened regarding this relay system. A voice projection, astral projection, as you call it. Andrew, when we take you to a planet called the Moon, we take you to the solar system within yourself in correlation to the outer, as you call, solar system.
The voice is talking to the mystic barber at this time.
We have helped you make your headband. We have given you all the secrets. For such a headband we placed upon Paulina 20 years ago, an unseen magnetic headband. We placed a magnetic field upon her head and upon her right ear, which has been there for 20 years and longer, but 20 years to her knowledge, permitting us to motivate through her vocabulary glands with her ego still conscious. We are so elated that such a program as this is possible in your age. We are so happy to find your open-minded attitude toward our contact with you, to the state whereby you can broadcast our voice, our voices. Andrew, the bread of life is life. Your question.
Any questions?
Is it?
If you wish to ask about their world, now you see, when I think I'm out of a trance, I'm not. I mean that their voices and mine sometime are simultaneous.
I wonder if you could... could we get any information about Sputnik? Your satellite?
We regret to say that matter made by the hands cannot sustain by space travel. We know that you gain great knowledges. What's a fantastic thing to send a body quartering out into an orbit. How wonderful if you could gather together your admiration for a scientific achievement, forgetting your desire to blow somebody to bits. We ask you to please change the subject. We are too adamant. You would not like it were we to go all out.
You would prefer questions on another subject, is that it?
Questions about our existence we shall ask.
I think, in all fairness, Charles, I've been informed by one of Miss Peavy's friends, who happens to be up here at the present time, that she's under terrific strain, and that we shouldn't talk anymore to the spirit voice. We should permit Miss Peavy to relax. Let me take just a moment to remind you that this is WOR Radio.
your station in New York. This is Long John with the party line. We're around from midnight to 5:30, 6 mornings in the week. And on Monday mornings, we start around at 1 in the morning and we go right through till 5:30. So that means we're on 37 and a half hours a week. Tonight we're talking with the Mystic Barber. Pardon me. That's Andy Sinatra from Brooklyn. We have also had two gentlemen from the Association for Advancement of Ethical Hypnosis. Charles Leadham is with us. Dave Bell. Sam Vandevert, the photographer. Herb Bailey, the author. And always just loaded up here. And we've got about 38 people, including two Venusians, Jack Keane and Russ Finkelpaw.
And the dog, John.
And the dog. Is it? I'm sorry to say, but that is not a Venusian dog, I know. That
no,
may be a Martian. It's a little lighter in weight.
That's, I think it's an Earth dog. I don't know, John.
Oh, it's a
Come here.
I didn't tell you about the time he was bitten by a vicious Cocker Spaniel, did I?
No.
You know those Cocker Spaniels, man, they're vicious dogs. You just look at them cross-eyed and they shake off your fingers.
He did bark here one night.
Yeah, he's an old radio veteran. Hey, Brutus.
Brutus.
Hey, come here.
Brutus, come over here.
Come here. Give me your business. Come on.
Brutus.
Talk, boy. It might get a sore throat tonight.
Venusian dog. Well, I think we should. We have, I would say, about 45 minutes left. More than that. About 50 minutes. And I imagine that we have some additional questions for the Mystic Barber. Herb, want to come in for a moment? Come on in, Herb. Herb Bailey. I think we'll have Herb join us for a moment because I know that he's been interested in interviewing the Mystic Barber. Herb Bailey is writing an article about the party line for Argosy magazine. It'll appear sometime in January. Well, we'll tell you at least a week or two in advance. Pull up a little closer, Herb. Herb, you know everybody sitting around the table and you've been introduced to the Mystic Barber, and I know when you interview somebody, you like to take a little time with them, and I thought maybe you'd give our listeners the opportunity of sort of getting in on an interview.
Well, I didn't have a chance to hear most of the program because I was in the other studio with someone else, but so therefore I don't know too much about what has been going on except the past few minutes.
I'd like to tell you a true event.
Well, that saves you a lot of time. You don't have to worry.
Do you think it's possible for a person to have a premonition of somebody going to die?
Well, I have heard that's possible.
Well, I've had three or four of these premonitions. I recall one statement. I'm sitting, I was around 17 or 18 in front of my father's store in a depth. I have a friend of mine. He's studying chemistry. His sister walked out, stepped outside, and I said, you know, Frank, your sister only got 2 weeks to live. I'm a class guy, and 2 weeks to go die. And there's been other times which I have a premonition of such a thing happening, and it's happened. I'll be on a barber's chair, and I give a man a shave or something, or work in a hospital, tell the doctor, man, he got long to go. I didn't bet the doctor by the time I have to be right. Now, last case I had, that was when I was at the lodge. I had over 38 or 78 people with us. We go there in the lodge, we open up in the early part of September, find a black border on the door. That means the brother died during the summer. I was a pilot there. I read the Bible. And while I'm in there, I read the Bible for the man who was deceased 5-10 minutes according to a ritual. And I told my friend, district, that time it was Chancellor Clement and Joseph Adamo, and he was district deputy then. I said, Joe, I said, one of us among here is going to die. He said, oh, come on in. He's scared of punch. I said, well, I'm the power. I got the freedom to do what I want with the money or anything I want. That's the power that I have as in the lodge. I could take the money as a pilot. Nobody could ask me the question. Chariot, Senate. Providing was done within the means. So I said, I want to tell the boys. I said, boys, what do you say? I said, we say a prayer today. Someone who's going to die, maybe it's me, and we'll be here next 2 weeks. Well, the boys all had a laugh because I've known the joke of the lodge. Well, what happened 2 weeks after? Whatever I said took place. I have over 78 people witness to the fact. And even my friend that I talked over the phone, he was chance for command. Now, this is a premonition. I've had these premonitions as a child on different things. I remember when I was a child, my father was in real estate business. He says, you know, he says, we got about $40,000 we sent it to me. He says, we're going to live rich over there. It's bad, don't send the money to me. Hey, what do you mean? With $40,000, we could live rich. I'm the only child. He says, well, you're a rich man. Well, let's send them on that. 5 years passed by, there was a walking through. The trip in one, trouble in Italy, and all we got back is $5,000. And I was about, you know, a young fellow that time. I told my father that. I see, sometimes these various predictions show themselves in various manifestations.
Well,
I was trying to say about 1492, the folk was talking. I wasn't finished with the story.
That was 1452.
1452. He said something about the southern coast. Remember, he says there's a east coast or
south
southern
coast.
Why did he say a southern coast?
No, he said south coast.
South coast. That means Carolina and all that stuff. Right, Southern Carolina, Louisiana. Now, to you, it was a joke, but to me, with a prophetic mind, that it meant that something was going to happen. The following day, he's talking about the southern coast. There was a big hurricane there and a lot of trouble. See, to the normal mind, who doesn't know these psychic vibrations, it was just a joke. But to me, who understands that a man was confused between his normal mind and his psychic mind, it was a prediction to take place.
Well, have you ever considered getting in touch with Dr. Ryan at Duke University?
Dr. Ryan has got his hands full in everything what he's doing. I'm probably doing the same research as Dr. Ryan. I'm working on the field of transmitting mental intelligence to a person's brain by electronics.
Well, I understand.
Now, when I was a physiotherapist, I graduated from Miranda School of Physiotherapy, but because of our school was not instructed by licensed men of the Medical Association, it belonged to another association. After 14 years, it wasn't recognized, and we all lost our license. You know, I didn't get off a banana boy. I know what I'm talking about.
In
the field of electronics, I learned a lot. I could transfer a physics or an electrical field to a person's body without giving them drugs to the stomach. Why can't intelligence be transmitted into a person? I was given massage treatment by transmitting electric currents from my body, then transmitting into the person. Because they have to change the frequency from one frequency to another. In fact, we'll do magnetic healing. Charge my body up, and I will pass it through the body.
I'd like to make one point, that is that I think I heard Dr. Ryan say on this program about 3 or 4 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, that he very much would like to contact people all over the country, and I think he said that he flew to California in one instance to find a psychic, that he's very much interested in finding people who do have any sort of precognition or any type of psychic ability, and I should think that he would be most interested in your ability and in your qualifications if you would care to submit them to a controlled study.
Well, would you comment on that question for you? I have all due respect to Dr. Rana as one of us. I consider he's doing his darnest and his best trying to help us. The government's got thousands of dollars for atomic bombs, atomic energy. One good psychic could save this country. Because one good psychic could know what goes on the other side. One good psychic could tell them a lot of things that the average man don't know. Why doesn't he get the government to invest $1 million in training men, take out psychic men, pay them a salary, and take care of so they can make a living?
Mr. Barber, may I ask you just one question?
Yes.
Who is this one great psychic who can do all this?
Now, when I talk, will you please listen to me so you know what you're saying? The public knows, and you don't know, you're standing around here. I said, the school can produce one man or one psychic. out of all the whole bunch, or combination of one man, bunch signing one man to, in each particular field. This man could not only save the country, he could be a great leader and save thousands of lives and save thousands of dollars.
Do we have such a psychic now?
Well, when we say a psychic, it's a group of people. One scientist, let's go to science. One scientist can't save the country, but a group of scientists are doing it.
So
the same
right.
applies in the field of psychics.
Now, you just made a statement a moment ago, Mystic Barbara, that one good psychic could solve all the problems of this country. Now, I ask you the question, who is this great psychic? Do we have such a great psychic?
So far, to me, it's not known.
Well, how would you select?
The combination, I'll give you an idea when we say great psychic. I'll give you a little simple thing so it'll be easy for the public to understand. Let's say you got a little kid more than $164,000. He's a very rare type. Now, he's on television, you see the child, he doesn't study, he has an education, he knows. Now, out of the bunch, somewhere, someplace, other children born, or people born who have this ability, has never been brought out. But through proper training, and through proper search, that man shall be found. He was found once before, and he proved it, and he shall be found again. That's where my answer is.
Which man is that that you mean?
There are certain things I cannot ask over the phone. This is something historical fact.
Oh, you mean?
It's historical fact based on history and research.
Don't you think that you're denying Dr. Ryan a good part of the possibility for further investigation by not submitting your own talent to him?
You know, I'm going to answer that question.
You are?
You will.
Yeah, in a way that you'll understand.
Thank you.
Once my wife was walking down the street.
Yes.
So she has to talk. A woman come along and says, why don't you have babies instead of dogs? Did that ever occur to her that she might have been a sick woman? That she could not have children? This is a true fact. Well, you say, why don't you tell Dr. Ryan to come? I got to make a living to support a family and grandchildren. Now, if they can supply me with that living, and if they can supply me with that support that I need, all right, I'm willing to do it, but I have to go out and earn my living.
Fine. And here's a message from Valentine about Valentine's Ale. Remember, it's brewed with Brewer's Gold.
Lead 'em. Herb Bailey, Dave Bell, and Andy Sinatra, the Mystic Barber. The Mystic Barber has been telling us about some of his experiences with astral projection. We have also had Paulina Peavy. She's the artist. And also, she was kind enough to go into a trance a couple of times for us. I think we've had a rather interesting discussion this morning about many things. Herb Bailey has been around the program for, I would say, two or three nights talking with panel members and various guests. Herb Bailey is doing an article for Argosy magazine about the party line. And Herb was kind enough to join us on the microphone for a couple of minutes. And I thought some of the people would be interested in sort of getting an inside slant on how Herb interviews somebody in order to write an article. Would you care to continue, Herb? Possibly have another question for the Mystic Barber?
Well, getting back to your precognition, which you mentioned.
Not to my precognition.
Well, I meant
to the
Mystic Barber, of course. You do have some precognition, though, John. I am quite sure of that.
I didn't think you noticed it.
Oh,
I've done a lot about it. I've gone to a throat specialist, and I've gone to a dermatologist, and they have consulted each other, and maybe I have it, but that wasn't what they called it at the time.
Well, back to the Mystic Barber, then. You say that you have experienced precognition several times. That is, that you have been able to foretell people's deaths and various things of that nature. Do you have an explanation for that? Do you think it's a slip in time, or do you think that you're able to project yourself in time, or do you feel that time is like some of the psychics think, is all almost with us? That is, I heard a woman tonight on the radio saying, Eileen Garrett saying that today is tomorrow, and it's the same thing as yesterday. I think I'm quoting correctly, that time is absolutely nothing insofar as we are, and as our existence is concerned. And I was just wondering, what are your thoughts on that matter? Do you feel that you can project ahead in time?
Well, when you want to project ahead of time, you concentrate and work by that impulse and try to take it to the future. But when you don't think of time, time is catching up to you. Such a thing as time catching up to you, so you catching up to time.
Well,
if I'm minding my own business, all of a sudden, I'm giving a body a haircut, and all of a sudden, boom, it tells you the man ain't going to live. From past experience, first it might have been an illusion or imagination. I can sense it, I feel that vibration, and it happens. Time is caught up with me. Not that I have long beyond time.
Mystic Barber, I was told, I don't know if this is true or not, but I thought possibly you'd want to comment on it. In the news building in the city of New York, I think it's 42nd Street, there's a barber shop, 4 or 5 chairs. And the barber that's in the first chair, gentleman by the, I think his name is Vito, they tell me that when he is massaging a person, giving him a facial massage or a scalp massage with one of these electric vibrators that has some springs and you put it on the hand, that he claims that from time to time he receives spirit messages through these vibrations. Now, in other words, his customer, who is being massaged, either their scalp or face is being massaged, has no knowledge that a message is coming through this vibration. Does this sound possible?
Is it going through to the individual who's vibrating the barber or the customer getting it?
No, not the customer. Oh, no, absolutely not. The customer has no knowledge of this.
I can answer that. It's not the vibration, but it's the frequency of the electrical field. Now, some time ago, about 20, 30 years ago, there's a dynamo running. And when the dynamo runs at a certain speed, the engineer would see faces on that dynamo when the frequency of the dynamo. And he would hear voices. Because he became part of that dynamo and the frequency was the same. And later on, about 7 or 8 years ago, there's two brothers, you know, they're welding, working welding, going on in the welding room. So when they used to put the welding down, one brother would look at the other brother, he would see a very different voice, but he would never tell him. When the other brother-in-law would start rolling, look at his brother-in-law, he'd see a very different person. That kept on for a while, for one time, one told the other. So what happened? The frequency that these vibrations gained, they adopted themselves, and whatever they saw was the adopted spiritual personality. Mm-hmm. Now, I know a case my wife knows here where I work with a friend of mine, I know we were father together. One day, he's using the electric clipper. Now, the electric clipper gives off infrared rays.
The electric clipper?
It's not the vibrator. It's not the one that's the answer. Sometimes you go near a child starts crying. I brought this up before the Fathers Association. Master, I got to run.
Well, isn't this just the fear of the noise for a moment? No?
The electric clipper will give off infrared rays. A little child is sensitive. I've seen even an adult when I work, the next stop and getting ready, even without touching. And they feel these infrared rays, the little children do. Now, when I take the vibrating clipper, it's just as much noise, the child does not cry because it doesn't give off infrared rays. Now, we have a friend of mine, all of a sudden, he got stars in his fingers. At the 28th Street, gentlemen.
No, you don't have to get here. We barbershop, yes, barber.
And while he's there, he gets sores in between the fingers. And they wonder what it was. They try to lay G and all this and that. So I told him to go to the electronic department of the hospital. And what was, he has having electrical burns from the clip on his hand. Now, when he's that machine that turns him over, gives off infrared rays. And also violet rays. These violet rays are passing through the person, and the person gets into a certain vibration. He's in tone with the, he is to be psychic. He's in tone with the vibration of the kingdom.
Mr. Barber,
I'm going now to the actual facts of electrotherapy.
You said earlier, I think, that you told me earlier that you were able to create a force field, and that various people would feel that were sitting around the table, for instance. I wonder if you would go through another one of your experiments tonight, if you could create this force field so that all of us sitting here could feel it.
Well, I gladly do it. I'm not denying it, because it's 39 people at the last meeting, and 38 people can't be wrong.
They felt it.
Now, I've done it also in a large, you can print an order sometimes. 35, maybe 5 people feel it and the other people don't. It just don't get off the chair.
Well,
I gave it to a certain man, a well-known attorney, demonstrator. I don't want to mention this man because, Andy, you are right. Later on, I'll mention this man.
I would say there are roughly about 20 people here now, and out of those 20, I think if you throw your force field, that perhaps a certain number may feel it. Do you feel that you could do that?
Always think before you talk and find out. I told you before I was sick for 2 weeks, you know.
Oh, you mean that?
I told you.
Your strength has been adapted.
My vitality used to heal myself.
I see. Well, that's
logical. Well, I can take people from a photograph and heal them and also work their voice.
Yeah, this is very...
No, I've done this job.
What I mean is the fact that possibly due to your recent illness, you have lost some of your strength.
If I have to play by a photograph, I can do it.
No argument.
I'm not making this up because quite a few people know that.
Yeah.
You can think of small, but I can do it.
I'm
always certain signs and the outcome for the good or evil. I'm applying for the best knowledge I'm applying for. Now, my power is low now.
What did you say?
The power is low now.
No, what you say before that?
To the occult man, mine is a lot of knowledge.
Yes.
You were listening, John.
He uses the good or evil, according to what he wants. And like other things, I've dealt with the occult because some photographs or objects belong to someone I can apply it for. That's the fourth thing.
Would you say that there's any connection with the law of quality in this?
Well, I don't know about Lord Crowley. I'm only doing my own experience. The people that I know, then I tell them afterwards.
How about Alexander Morse?
I don't know. I never read books. I don't read books. And
I have read the mind of some people who've been on the program telling me about some of the...
It's been experimental.
I wonder if we could permit Mr. Leadham. He has an interest.
No, I don't have a question. I was just going to say that we should be grateful to Mr. Bailey for letting us from the inside of what goes on at an average magazine interview. The audience is grateful for this sort of thing.
Later on, Mr. Bailey. All the respect to you and Ron down here. Later on, I'll be able to give you a demonstration of anything you want.
I see who was left out of that respect. I got the point, Dad. I got the point.
Mr. Barber, I was going to do it for not you, sir. To her, but, and then I'm sorry, Dave, then you'll certainly have an opportunity to talk with the Mr. Barber. I was just wondering, is this the usual problems that confront you as a writer, as a reporter? Do you usually run up against these problems the same as you have this morning?
Well, I will say no, because this is a most unusual show. In fact, I think it's unique in American radio. And I'm very much intrigued with it, and there's no question of the fact that it's a very interesting show, but I would say that I haven't had the privilege of interviewing people quite as talented or as psychic, you might say, as the people that you've had here, such as the Mystic Barber. And therefore, it's quite an experience for me. I'm glad to be here and to be able to see some of the things that are going on.
I'm just wondering, I hope this isn't too personal a question. You said that you're glad to be here. Are you here?
Well, that is a question which is probably...
At this point, it should be a question, right?
Yes. One never knows.
That's right. It's dealing with this type of phenomena. Anything can happen.
I may be projected.
You may be at home in bed, or you may be talking with your publisher right now out in Las Vegas. And yet you think that you're sitting here. You're a fool, Herb. Believe me.
It may be an illusion, but it is something that I have to cling to because it's the only thing that I know at the moment, that is. But perhaps with a few more interviews with the Mystic Barber and other people that you've had, I might be able to come back to, achieve a new reality, which... I think it's commendable if we can do it.
I would just like to say this, that this has been a very, very inspiring comment that you've been kind enough to give us. I hope that we have it on tape. I would like to play this time and time again, sort of to open our program every morning. I think it's an inspirational message that the listeners will appreciate. Thank you, Herbert Bailey.
Thank you.
Well, Mystic Barber, I know that you've told us that your vitality is low and that you don't feel like creating a big force field, but I wonder if you could create a little force field for us.
Do you know the story once said, what good is he if he gains the war and loses it? So why should I create a force field to ruin my health, which is more important?
Well, would it ruin your health?
It's, when I do that, I'm taking a lot of energy. In other words, I ain't got no money in the bank, and I got to take out what I want. This is a question of requiring health because it requires all electrical energy that I've stored up to heal and fight. I recreate this energy, and I heal myself from natural energy by storing it up in the body. Now, I have to store this up from wherever I have it, which is now healing me up. And I have to use it just to put on a demonstration.
Well, instead of demonstrating...
As I told you, I will eventually, when I'm ready, if I want to create a force field, if I got a photograph of something belonging to you, you know, I think sometimes I'm a joker. Sometimes I have fun with certain people, and certain times that something belongs to them, all of a sudden they find themselves knocking their head up against the wall and turning themselves upside down in bed while they sleep and they don't know what hit them. And I've done these things, I got proof that I've done them, and I still can do them with the force and the proper force for life.
Well, I've got to watch my step then.
There's no existence possible to be done if you don't.
No. Here is something. You see, I wasn't present.
You can't do it all the time. When the atmosphere is right, when the force is right, this can be done.
When you told us about this force field that you created, you told us that you had witnesses. Now, I'm not questioning the fact that you created a force field. I'd like to know more about what it's like.
You want to learn how to do it? You want to have knowledge of the field?
No, I want to know what it feels like.
It's just a vibration or a heavy feeling. Sometimes it's strong enough that you can't get off your chair. Sometimes you'll feel up in here like that. A vibration whenever you're weak. Now, you people want to know something, want to feel something, knock your brains out like I've done and educate yourself and find out in your own way. I'm going to study you, find out these things. Guys like you come along after you, and then you become smart. Knock your brains out.
You mean that if we knocked our brains out like you have, where we would arrive at this state, then we would be able to comprehend it?
I'm giving you any statements, right? I'm making a statement about it. All I know and all my knowledge is somewhere off in China. Then you're off a banana. or the public
not to.
Things that are held within our knowledge. I'm just giving you by talk and soft talk, making you feel good, but the real secrets of fact and knowledge that took me years of knowing are really possessed in my mind and my individual thoughts and not revealed to no one until the time comes.
Right, you're dead right.
I agree. I wouldn't
too.
Argue that point. Could have another cup of coffee.
I wouldn't either.
That's it, Harry. I've got so many station breaks tonight, I've got an extra
10
in for next week already.
Save them up,
day.
John. You
can all the respect. I like you, nice fellas. I'm a good sport. Anytime. You want to come to the house and have dinner, you're all welcome.
Well, now, wait a minute. Easy, neighbors. I can hear everybody falling out of bed, getting dressed, ready to go over for dinner at the Sinatra's. The 9,000 people.
47 states.
27 states will be over there for dinner tomorrow.
Oh.
No, I sincerely think that Andy Sinatra, if he had the facilities, he'd invite every one of the listeners over to have dinner. And I can bet that Mrs. Sinatra is a great cook and certainly a very charming hostess.
You know, John, the curious people come around to see me.
I can imagine.
There's one fellow all week that's going to come in the house on the milk. I know he's not on milk. I like to make a statement. Anyone interested in seeing me will contact Long John. He'll give you my address.
No, Long John will not give any address.
Oh,
if anybody wants to contact you, Mystic Barber, they can write a letter to the Mystic Barber, care of Long John Station, WOR, New York 18, and I'll be happy to give you the mail the same as we did the last time.
I'll answer all kinds of letters. You can make an appointment to see you. But don't try to stick around because I know beforehand what and what is going to be before you mistake such a thing as going to
happen, you'll find me compared. You put in the lower right-hand corner of the car to one word.
We're living in a world of so I would like to say, well, I mean, if anybody is recorded this year, this evening has recorded me, please write the Long John, because my recording machine broke at home and I couldn't take this report. So if any among you has recorded this here, write a letter to Long John, addressed to me, and I will try to get the tape from you or make a double tape of it. And my machine broke.
Your machine broke?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry it was just a mechanical failure on your machine. It had nothing to do with
no, it's just the
fourth dimension
current,
or anything. Oh, it's DC current?
No, it's an AC machine.
Yeah, I know, but in other words, where you plugged it in was DC.
Yeah.
That will not do it a tremendous amount of good.
Did it have anything to do with the force field that
you
were creating?
No, this is a mechanical thing.
No, the AC current, DC current, and river current.
Yeah.
You had it plugged into river current or DC current? DC current.
And there's the four-phase current that the Venusians have.
Yes. We had, somebody told me, I'm not kidding you, a four-phase current. I don't know what it meant, but when we had 1452 on, he told us about his electronic horn. And he plugs it in and plays it and tunes into Venus.
Well, four-phase horn, the AC and DC. A combination of both.
You had the one in between up here the other night.
Yes, we had the one in between the other night.
The book on the...
You know what?
I was on a boat going to Mexico. I only think that's a prophecy.
You know what?
I don't say it's true.
No.
You killed my gag, John. You killed my gag.
The
three phases of Eve, Dad. You missed it.
203 days from now, if I want to
Mexico.
We're all on the banana boat from Mexico.
You know what? I'm sorry that I don't have copies to pass around to all of our guests. Because I think at this time we should all join in and sing one chorus of Keep Your Cotton Picking Fingers Out of My Cotton Candy. I think that this would be something that would be inspiring to everybody. It would lead us to greater heights. Am I right?
You're good, John.
Well, I said it, John. John, you're a smart man.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
understand
don't
that.
Don't get yourself.
I'm aware of
your size.
I'm
aware of something you don't know.
I think
you're aware of
something,
but you don't know.
Right, sir.
The idea was that this proof you about 1442, whatever it says, 52, that the public wants comedy.
Yeah. Well, now, don't hit the microphone.
And lie to you about what this and that. Why is it? Public likes to laugh and wants a little comedy once in a while. After all, people got to like to smile once in a while. There's plenty of sorrow and happiness. Why don't you give them a laugh once in a while? Look at me. I've been having a laugh all evening. I got you guys laughing.
You certainly have. We've enjoyed it. Would you say, are you here as a comic or as a serious researcher in the field of psychic phenomena?
No, sir. A person, a good barber must be able to look like I. He must try to understand his cousin.
I think that's the problem I had. My barber's a psychiatrist, and as far as with, you know, with the comb and the scissors, he's not too good.
Well, the idea is when you talk to the public, you gotta give them a little funny stuff, make them a little laugh, and a little sour, and a little laugh. And that's very easy to follow.
I would like to just for a moment.
Because regarding what I was talking about, since I started the last program till now, still nobody can figure it out. Neither can you.
May I ask you this? Is this all for fun, or are you for real?
Well, it's for fun, for real.
No, I mean it, because I listen
to the show. So this is the show, I'm putting on a show.
In other words, is this for real, this band that you put on your head? This is really.
It's the band.
This is not a laugh.
Well, you feel it's the band, don't you, John?
No, I'm asking, is this for real?
It's based on certain real things.
Is the story that you told us about astral projection, is this for real?
This is my own experience.
This is your own experience.
Now, it could be taken in one form or another, but there's other people who gone through the same thing. But some of my people have made the mistake. I've gone research to them.
What do you think of the two gentlemen that were up here before? Not personally, but in other words, about their description of astral projection, Mr. Cook and Mr. Wilder.
Well, they may be sincere in what they're doing, but they're not sure of what they're doing.
Are you sure?
I am sure.
But you're not
confident in what I'm doing, but they were not confident with me.
What led you to believe that?
By the way they talk, by the thoughts behind their mind, and by their actions. Well, what they had to say.
Do you think that you could accomplish something similar to what Mr. Cook described about a person being put into a hypnotic state, and then the person is given a hypnotic suggestion, they return home, and during the course of the night, they are awakened because of this hypnotic suggestion?
It's over 100 years this thing has happened. It doesn't work the same with everybody. It just sometimes the quiz has to work for a certain time, and the vibration is different.
Does it depend upon the ability on the part of the hypnotist or the subject?
First thing, it depends on the hypnotist, and it depends on the person that is in harmonious with him. Now, if the person is harmonious with him, I do not.
I mean, the subject. You and I are in rapport.
We could produce something, because we're just speaking. Vibrating time.
You and I.
Yeah. Gemini, Sagittarius. And then you get people on the so-called air, flying air, and have planets and Neptune. Now, you got Neptune, and let's say in the Cancer. I got Neptune in Cancer. Now, when the moon is Neptune, we're both in harmonious field.
That's you and I.
Yeah.
Complete rapport.
Yeah. Now, either I put you in the Cancer, or you put me. One of us put to create those thoughts.
You know, at this late hour in the morning, I think you had me in a trance all night.
This man happened to hit somebody accidentally that happened to be in harmonious. The hypnotist.
The hypnotist, yes.
I may try 20, 30 other people don't want to, but that person was. That person was not morning. Just like me and my wife. We're like 2 miles in one door. I met my wife for the day. You want to hear the story? Nothing wrong with the two stories. I met this girl. She's already wrong with the fella. She's going to get married within 3 months. We have a few drinks. I danced with the girl. She said, you know you're going to marry me. She's crazy. I don't know you.
That's what she told me about a half an hour ago.
We were married. And I told her. And we got married. Boom. Now, look. Now here she's going with him. I don't know what's going to marry him. And she objects. We are married. That's 25 years. Just the same instinct that told me things of what you want. I'm mine. Sometimes we go shopping and bring the same stuff. Or we think the same idea. That I'm mine. The harmonious frequency. Why? Well, so proud of the little gentleman. You know, the mind harmonious, and most of my planets are on the tour. I'm my...
What is her sign?
Tour. But if you have more planets than an air sign than your own, then you're like a Gemini. She's practically a Gemini person, although she's born with a sign of Taurus. You understand? And most of my... I have moon and scorpion. But most of plants are in my, on the water sign. My plants are in her water sign, which makes me like a scorpion instead of a Sagittarius. So scorpion, Taurus, Sagittarius, scorpion, Taurus, combined. She learns, of course, person born onto the sign that he's his vibration. So she makes it complete and harmonious all around.
So what you call feeling and everything. Love at first sight.
Well, we call it love, whatever you want. Second sight, first sight.
You have second sight in love, as well as first sight.
With me, they question love at first sight. Understand? I take a tour down just for the help of the girl.
Yeah.
And I say, pick any girl on the hall. She's right here to tell you. I stand mind of my own business there. Before you know, the girl comes over and talks to me. I light a cigarette, and all we have to do is just take her home. By using a mind force of force. You might see this stuff just in research. She's right here to tell you.
Very interesting.
Now, what is it? I use no force field, and I was a complete harmonious field. So that's the rules you want to call for wisdom. Now, he is telling me some person who can hypnotize. He's in harmony field, he gets results. He tries 25 more, he can't do it. So there you are, like Mr. Neffel tried something. He said he can't do the same, like you said it twice. It's just when those harmonious fields come in that he can do it. Or I can tell when a person on a dial lives. Or tell a person not to buy certain things, and I got people come over to me every day for different things. Asking questions. I don't do it for money.
You do it for your
love
and respect
for your
fellow men.
That comes to me for research work in my field. I have an idea plan. Later on,
you have a laboratory?
No, I haven't. I hate it someplace. I had a big office big in yours sometimes.
I don't even have an office.
Call it the Eastern York Health Club, I know. To massage and exercise and all that. 14 years.
So what do you think of concept therapy?
I never tried it.
Well, the thing is, the
innovation... I don't know what it is.
The innovation...
I can't do
it. You're still right with me, too.
There's too many therapies coming out. There's only three things in this world that can help you. Air is the force of life. And I'm planning to work on a plan where we have purified air to breathe and the jacket on the head. People do yogi breathing to heal themselves. Like I sit down and I breathe. Purified air.
You sit in a lotus position.
No, just relax. Everything, and I heal myself from different things that I had. Like I had this virus condition. I just stressed it for a week or so, and I got over it. Other person that shot this, not nothing. I took care of things myself.
You know, the innovation that I was onto tonight was this business that the admissions and discharge boards of psychiatric institutions should consist of a psychiatrist, a doctor, and a spirit medium. Wasn't that pretty much
it? Well, finally, the body's a real medium. He's not a fruit. So one with honesty, sincerity, the interest of fellow men.
But he should help the psychiatrist and the medical man decide on whether the people should be admitted or discharged from the mental hospital. This is it, you know, it's like the old song.
You heard
it's always madness, I call it vibration.
You heard a person have a three personality.
We were on the
phone. I
had
one that had five.
Wow.
Was five different
five personalities, yes.
And through hypnosis, I straighten out the part.
Are you a hypnotist, too?
No, I am a hypnotist. I told you I know a lot more than other people think they know.
I don't deny that. I've done research on the field. I just want to ask you a question. Are you a hypnotist?
Look, everybody's a hypnotist. When it comes to hypnotism, everybody is meat, we all eat meat. So is not.
I assure you that the president of the Association for Advancement of Ethical
Hypnotism... You're making a big mistake for me, and I'll make it for the public. You want to hear it? There's such a thing as change from one person to another through the process of hypnosis. If you reach the soul of the person through hypnosis, he can enter your body, you can enter his, and when you're awake, you'll be two different personalities. Now, I went as far as doing that, just for research work, with my own relative for experiment. And then I returned him back to the normal feeling. Now, when you go that far, you're going God's way far, and I'd like to make some statements on hypnosis. I don't want it to feel like a pocketbook of other people, because I can open up on hypnosis.
We'd like to have you open
no,
up.
No, I don't want it, because it's just a feeling of other people making a living.
Well, don't you want to protect your fellow man? And if hypnosis
sometimes
is detrimental...
Sometimes it's trying to protect your fellow man. You're cutting down somebody who's trying to earn a living.
Well, I don't think that we
no.
should be concerned you about that.
You want to open up a medicine, you can find out you're going to, a lot of doctors are not giving true diagnosis. You can open up on any field.
There's I'd like to hear something more about hypnosis.
A private lecture, I'll give confidence. That I'm here.
You give private lectures, then?
Friends get together, and I'll try to give you a demonstration. But by the way, I get two people harmonious with me. You'll be surprised what I can do.
John, I have learned that the mystic barber gives lectures to organizations and lectures on the occult and on development of these powers. And I believe there was a lecture that you gave recently over in Brooklyn in which you demonstrated its force field. Now, you want to tell us something about that?
Well, here's what...
No, please. Face the microphone. No,
what is it? My Hoffman here was working together with me and my thing. I demonstrated a force here if I got truth.
Is that Mr. Hoffman?
Yeah,
Mr. Hoffman, come over here a moment, please. Would you sit down in this chair over here? We'd appreciate it.
Let him explain.
Yes, thank you. We only have a couple of minutes left. Mr. Hoffman has been kind enough to join us this morning. He's associated with the Mystic Barber. And the Mystic Barber's secretary is here. Would you tell us something about this lecture and this manifestation of the force field?
Well, this lecture was in Brooklyn at the Brooklyn Theosophical Society about a month ago. And Mr. Sinatra gave a very good demonstration of various things. And... it was an audience of educated, cultured people, and he seemed to answer every question that they were ever to give him. In his own words, he said he got better questions at that lecture than he's had from this panel here. In other words, you seem to get them all confused.
Well, I think you have mentioned that this was a group of cultured, educated people, and my panel members actually would certainly not come under that.
Oh, very definitely, Sean.
You agree, Dave?
Oh, yes, I agree entirely.
Of course, when we say that, we're not referring to Shaloni, actually. We're not including Shaloni in that. But that was an interesting comment, Mr. Hoffman.
Well, you explained about the...
Yeah, the mic is down there. Yep. Tell us about... Mr. Hoffman, would you talk about the force field?
Well, he's a little bashful.
Doesn't seem to be.
Well, my friend, Mr. Hoffman's a little bashful, but he's a nice chap. Now, what he...
Did you say that Mr. Hoffman is cultured and educated?
Yeah, he's a nice chap. Now, the question of the force field, I'll explain myself. By concentrating or focusing to a point, and telling people you are going to put on a force field to let them know when they're feeling. Now, once you start doing this, and they start feeling it, you concentrate where this force field is, they're going to feel it. You don't tell them. Let's say I'm going to send a force field, but I'm going to concentrate on the forehead. That remains within you without telling the customers that or the friends that. Then you ask them, where did you feel this force field? There's three people that felt something. Well, let's say I felt it on the forehead. Now, you never told them you sent the fart. So they felt it on the fart, and you know you've created a force field on the fart. Now, if the man says I felt it in the knees, you know there's something wrong. You've not created a force field. Now, this force field was created around the knees. So one night I got through, I said to the boys, where is the force field created? Now, my secretary was scared to speak, and he said he felt the knees, but he wasn't scared to say, figure that he's working with me. So I asked the people, and about only two people or three people did not feel that force field on their knees. I concentrated on the knees. I felt it coming to me, and I stopped it at the knees. So consequently, that is proof that the force field was created. But only out of 38 people, two or three didn't feel it at all. The others felt it on the knees. So that's the answer. How you know that you have created a force field? Because you don't just feel a vibration coming from you, but where's the fact that but send it to that particular part of the body of those people.
And we're bound to be a couple of skeptics. Any
well,
of
whether they believe it or not, that's something that's not intelligence. That's we create body resistance. These people had high body resistance to that. They didn't feel it. Because you don't talk. You relax for 2 minutes or 3 minutes, and you concentrate, say, the shoulder. And you send a force field to the shoulder. Now, then you ask the boys, where do you feel a force field? Now, if they have an imaginary ailment, I'll tell you one says his foot, another guy says his leg. That's an imaginary. But the real people who feel the force field will feel it, say, at the right shoulder. They'll all feel at the right shoulder. And you know it's creating a foul on that particular section. The others may be neurotic. You know, there's people even don't say not they feel something.
You mean if you've been trying to send this force field around the studio this morning, and if I did not feel it, then I'm neurotic?
No, you don't understand. To know that you're sending the proper force field, you don't tell. Just tell them you're going to send a force field. Now, let's say I'm going to name the right left foot of every person in here. The right left foot. You can't have a wrong left foot, can
you? John, you're not vibrating right. You're a skeptic.
Now
let's face it.
So, consequently, when I send this force field, people who are in harmonious with you will feel it. You don't tell them that. They'll feel it in the left foot, I say. Those who are neurotic or imagine the head, they claim they feel in different places. Now, by doing so, you know those who are in harmony with you and that particular four people. And those that do feel a force field, they're in harmonious with you.
And the others are neurotic.
They're not either neurotic or they're not in harmonious with you. So you adopt and use your energy and help those who feel a force field. Those are the people you assist.
But not the neurotic.
The other ones you can't help. They're not in harmonious with you. There's this party here in Italy known as the Mago of Italy, where he heals people.
Uh-huh.
You go there, if he ain't got money, he even gives you money. Well, he's had a lot of people up there that he actually can't heal.
Unfortunately, we'll have to wrap it up again. After that last and final comment on the part of the mystic barber, I know that I'm going down to the Italian tourist bureau tomorrow and find out when I can get a boat to go to Italy to get some of the loot that they're passing out there.
All right.
We've been talking with the mystic barber this morning. We've talked to so many people, at this point I'm confused how to build them. I know that Charlie Beatham was with us since the top of the show. He's been feeling the force field. It's obvious to me the way he looks now.
You know which foot it's in.
We've also had Dave Bell with us this morning. James Donnelly stopped up to say hello. We've had Paulina Peavy with us. We've had everybody tonight, and I hope that you've enjoyed it. I know that I have, and our good friend Phil Conk will be along with your sunrise serenade. Jack Keane, our engineer, and Russell Tinklepore has made the whole thing possible, including Walter McDonald. And if you're getting up, I sincerely hope you have a very, very pleasant day. And if you're going to bed, get a good night's sleep. And sleep real good. Bless you.